Get up out of bed. Get up. Get up with Tim and Jess. Hit CQ.
Good morning, Central Queensland. It's Tim and Jess here on Hit CQ. Just gone 3 minutes past 6 a.m.
Tim, Queensland police have announced that Cyclone Linda, don't need to worry about it.
Technically, it's been named. So when it gets named, it means that people need to take it seriously. But it's seriously over the ocean, and it doesn't look like it's going to cause too much grief here on the mainland.
Yeah, so you need to put the milk down, put the bread away.
Yes.
You don't need to stock up.
Well, I feel like a fool. Bought 48 loaves.
Only 4 cartons of milk, though.
I don't drink milk because that's garbage food, but, but the bread stocks, that's my. I had to buy another freezer. Look, I'm $7,000 in debt, but it's worth it for the next Cyclone Linda to come through.
Of course. You got to be prepared.
But let's not put all our eggs in the hypothetical basket. You never know. Mm-hmm. It is looking like Cyclone Linda's going to... It's kind of like someone that's dancing up to you in a club and they get the eyes and they're like, oh, they don't want to dance with me. So Linda's like coming towards you and then she might be like, oh, bye. See you later. But you never know. She might approach you and ask for a dance.
God, I hope Linda doesn't make it here.
I really hope Linda does not make it here. Jess, I'm super jazzed about the show today because we've got some special guests coming in after 8:30 because we are playing Ogre Herd all week here at Hit CQ. And if you do hear Shrek giving us a bit of a call out, then you can go and see Shrek the Musical at the GECC this weekend.
And we're going to have Shrek and Donkey, or at least the boys that play the characters, in this building today.
Very excited. Also, Jess, I'm excited because we do have another guest on the show after 7:30, but it's a surprise guest interview. You don't know who this person is.
Right, so which is concerning for me because I like to prepare.
Yeah, I've got them organised. You don't really need to prepare. It's more of a helping service for you.
Right.
So don't prepare. If that's my one piece of advice to you, my friend, do not prepare. But Jess, coming up next, I would like to tell you and the people of Central Queensland, how can improve your love life? Dr. Tim, he's punched in for the day.
Here we go. Here it comes again. Your advice is always so good.
Time to earn the money that I am being paid to give you love advice. It's Tim and Jess on Hit CQ.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Sorry, it's not Tim and Jess this morning. It's Jess and Dr. Love.
All right.
Because Dr. Love is here to strike you in the hearts and strike you in your minds.
Gets one girlfriend one time, claims that he's a love doctor.
Thank you. Jess, I want to tell you why wearing socks to bed can improve your life drastically.
Oh, said no one ever.
Said multiple scientists, as it's spelt and pronounced. Jessica, apparently wearing socks, it can, this is my favourite part of it, it can deter menopause from women, it can make you go to sleep faster, and to use an analogy, because we can't use the correct words, it can help you in your love life reach blast off more frequently.
Stop it.
And better.
How? Okay.
Blast off!
I could have done without the Woo-hoo! Actions, to be honest.
So apparently, because, but see, at first, Dr. Love, I always read into my case studies because as a human being that I am, I don't like wearing socks to bed. It could be minus 20 degrees and I don't like to wear socks because I feel like it's constricting my feet.
Absolutely.
It's getting up in my grill and I don't want to be a part of that. Dr. Love does not prescribe socks willy-nilly, Jess. So this is why Dr. Love has done some research.
Please stop talking about yourself in the third person.
Well, Dr. Love could be anyone. I know I'm not wearing a stethoscope. Oh,
wow. It's going well.
I was like,
well,
I should say that word. And look what's happened. But Jess, a study in the Netherlands has said that, look, if you have warmer feet, conversely, they cause blood to cool down, dilating the blood vessels around the body, a process known as vasodilation. So it calms you down and makes you sleep better. It makes you relax. But see, I sleep butt naked. Sleeping butt naked with socks is not a cool look. Because you know, like when you're changing out of the gym gear or whatever, you're changing out of your clothes and you're just standing there in your socks and nothing else?
Nah, see, socks are always first to go off for me. I get home, shoes off, socks off, done.
Yeah, well, normally you're walking around in a pool of your own tears, so it is easier to get the damp socks off your feet. But I just think, look, if you're struggling in your love life, struggling trying to get to sleep, if you're worried about menopause, the answer is socks. I don't know. If that ticks all three boxes for you.
Well, I am 26, so menopause is a big concern for me these days.
Now you're getting it.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
And a lot of people in Central Queensland probably don't realise just yet how much you hate things be in your eyes?
I think the only things that should be in your eye are your eyes. Personal opinion.
So if I said to you, and like I just reached into my eye right now.
I literally almost swore out loud. So tread carefully.
If I said to you, a young boy in China was trying to take off his jumper and got the zipper caught on his eyelid.
No, he did not. It's not possible.
He did. It is possible because it happened. And firefighters had to come and physically cut him out of his own jumper.
Honestly, and I'm being real here.
Yeah.
I would rather have my testicles caught in a zipper than my eyelid. I'd rather get shot in the forehead. That is the worst thing that could happen.
There's no pictures, so I'm trying to imagine what this would like entail. Like, did he have really long eyelashes, or like I don't understand how one gets caught. So the zipper closed up over his eyelid.
Yep.
And the doctors felt it was too delicate a situation.
I have to put him down.
So the firefighters cut through the jacket. And then they slowly pulled the zipper apart.
No!
He's totally fine. You know, the incident, it was only a few hours.
You know why there's no photos? Because it's a government cover-up. Because they're like, the world isn't ready for this. No one's ready for this image. That is disgusting. You've almost made me swear. I've done nothing but clap and yell in the last 2 minutes.
Can you be professional with your job for a second, please?
Yes. I'll be sorry.
This is the Tim and Jess catch up on Hit.
Tim, yesterday you sent me the challenge to take my cat and put him to the test.
Yes, because you were so indecisive. I hope not like a lot of people in Central Queensland, because you couldn't pick an NRL team to support out of the Broncos, the Cowboys and the Titans.
Well, I mean, it's not often you get to make this decision. Usually you're born into a family and they back one team.
Funny thing, though, that me and my family, all four of us, we all support a different team.
Really?
Yes. The family was very much, hey, you do you.
Oh, well, that's nice. Yes. I don't get that option in my family.
No, absolutely not.
So I really wanted to take this task seriously. I narrowed it down to Titans, Cowboys and Broncos.
And we thought, what's the best way to decide this? Because Jess couldn't make up her mind. We couldn't get any help from listeners yesterday. We'll get her cat Chandler.
Yeah. So I taped out three different shapes on the ground. The one that Chandler walked into first and sat down in was going to be the team that I was going to back for the rest of my life.
Absolutely.
Turns out my cat is properly useless.
Doesn't want to play the game.
Every other cat on the internet will see a taped square or a taped hexagon on the ground and will walk straight towards it and sit inside of it.
Now, you did film this. It's on our Instagram page. Is it on our Facebook page?
It is on our Facebook as well. Just search for Hit Central Queensland.
My one piece of feedback is they were quite small shapes. I really think you needed to double that.
Nah, because I made the same shape, the same size shape as you gave me in the image.
I just think you needed to make it bigger. And also, you put letters in the middle of it, and I think that could have thrown your cat off. What did he get closest to?
He got closest to the Broncos first.
All right, so
he sniffed around the Cowboys.
Yeah. So Titans, did he piss on the Titans? Because I would have.
He didn't even go anywhere near the Titans. He was not interested in the Titans at all.
We are excited for them to come to town on April 8th at Marley Brown Oval. But so you're saying that we're still at an impasse.
We're still at an impasse. Oh, so because he went closest to the Cowboys and the Broncos.
Now it's between them. So Titans.
It's between them. They are playing against each other this weekend.
Oh wow.
So the winner of that game, I will end up backing.
Here we go. Who's the most successful? I'll go for them.
Good luck, boys.
Your cat is useless.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Apparently, Aussie parents are dropping the ball when it comes to helping with their kids' homework.
Yeah, an international study has shown that Australian parents are spending way less time on their kids' homework with them than international parents.
So the global average of homework for parents helping out their kids is 6.7 hours a week, helping your children study for their school with the outside homework.
I don't know about you, Tim. My parents never really helped me with my homework. Like, especially when I started bringing home hard maths, Mum was just like, yeah, nah,
primary school,
Google it.
Primary school was a bit different. I don't remember ever bringing, like, I had assignments, like, colour this in. And
no,
I was like, Mum, I don't think I can do this one.
Poster projects and any, like, my parents just didn't help me with any homework, and I did fine.
Yeah, we get it. You're self-sufficient. All right.
No, see, I'm just saying I don't understand what the big deal is that parents aren't, like, they're saying that parents aren't helping.
Was always very much, like, I would try and do it, but when it would come to maths, which is something I still, to the day, struggle with aggressively, yeah. I would always go to my dad. And for stuff like English, I would go to my mum because she used to be a teacher.
Yeah.
But I would say that most of the time, I was never instructed, hey, get help from your parents. So apparently Australian parents spend 4.4 hours a week helping their kids. So that's just under the global average of 6.7. Indian parents spend 12 hours a week helping their kids, topping the list. So 27% of parents surveyed here in Australia simply don't spend any time helping their kids, while 13% said they spend more than 7 hours a week. And personally, for primary school, 6 hours is too much.
Yeah, this is the thing that stood out in the study. More than anything else, forget parents helping their kids. 6.7 hours of homework for a child,
yeah,
seems very excessive
now,
to me.
Now, I, as much as we just talked about this, I quite enjoy the whole idea of homework because I believe, obviously, it's to follow up on what you did that day. But I think one of the main reasons of homework is to prove that once you get into the real world, when you get a real job, when you go to university, you have more work to do than just in your designated hours. Say you work a 9 to 5, you might not get anything and you might have to do some work from home. So I believe that it instills that you have to sometimes work outside of those parameters. And I think that's fantastic.
I think we need to lessen how often we do it though. Because if your kid's working 6.7 hours outside of school as well as their schoolwork, I mean, that's
something that is ticked me off a little bit. Education Minister Simon Birmingham, he said that parents need to do more in Australia to stop declining and stagnating academic performance in Australia. And that, I feel, is unfair.
It's not up to the parents. It's up to the kids to want to work.
It's up to the school. So 13, 12, 16, what we want to focus on is 6 hours too much homework across a week for a child here in Australia. Is that too much homework, whether you're in primary school, secondary school? It's a lot of homework.
It's been a while since you and I have been kids, and we don't have kids of our own, so it's good to cover
these
issues.
Not that I'm aware of. So 13, 12, 16, is 6 hours of homework too much? 13, 12, 16, we have been asking, is 6 hours of homework a week too much? Because the study's come out and said 6.7 hours a week is the global average of how much you're meant to spend with your kid to help them on homework. And Australian parents are struggling with 4.4 a week.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, the thing that stood out for us, not the fact that parents in Australia are struggling, but 6.7 hours seems like a lot of time to be spending on homework.
I can understand, say, from like year 9 upwards, that the homework level, again, we talked about it just before, I think it's important that homework exists because it shows you can do work outside of school and also to follow up on what's happened that day.
But I think it's also important to give kids a bit of a break in the afternoon. Yeah. They need to relax. They need to unwind.
Exactly.
Just like we do after work.
Spend time with the family.
Yeah.
That's super important. And we have been asking on 13, 12, 16, is 6 hours too much homework? And we've got Adam from Emerald. Adam, what do you think? Is 6 hours just a bit too much?
Way too much. Way too much. My young boy, he does anywhere up to 8 hours.
Wow.
And they don't learn about it until the day after. So the teacher gives them homework to go home.
Oh, hang on.
Fail on.
So they
teach them the next day.
They're trying to do the work before school and then so they go to school and learn what they were trying to do
so
in their homework.
Preparation.
Yeah, it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Yeah, they give him homework to go home to that he doesn't know anything about and let both me and my wife look at it and go, I don't even remember learning this at school.
You're on your own.
How old's your young fella?
13, nearly 14, so year 8.
So you're getting into year 8. So obviously high school will change it up because you expect there to be more homework.
Yeah.
But I remember, isn't it ridiculous? Like they expect you to do an hour and a half a night of homework?
Yeah, and these days it's all on computer too. Like they've got a password to log in on the computer. No textbooks come home.
No.
So you can't even look back on your notes from yesterday.
Yeah.
It's silly.
Unbelievable. Well, thanks for your call, Adam.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. I think it is important, but I think that might be crossing lines. So we appreciate your call, champ.
Oh, good. Thank you. Have a good one.
And we've also got Karina from Gracemere on 13, 12, 16. Karina, quickly, is 6 hours of homework too much for a week?
I don't think so, to be honest. Is this per child or on average?
I think it's per child.
However many children.
Yeah, they're saying that on average, each child will spend 6.7 hours.
That's the global average.
Yeah, see, I don't even think that's right, to be honest. Like, I have 3 kids. They're all in primary school and probably all up maybe about 2 hours a day.
2 hours.
So 2 hours a day.
10 hours a week.
Are they in primary or high?
They're in primary.
Primary. So primary, I can expect that. But once it gets to secondary, it goes
10
up.
10 hours a week.
Wait. Sorry, I missed that.
She said 2 hours a day per child. They're doing.
They only can spell animal so many
times. No. Not per child. For the whole three of them.
The whole three.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So overall, about 10 hours. But it probably is a bit too much when you have three because one child ends up missing out. So you kind of sit down and spend a half an hour with one, half an hour with the other, and a half an hour with the other.
Got stuff to do with home as well, so we understand that.
Pick which one you like the least, Karina.
No, well, it's Karina, the one that's juggling the most, basically.
Exactly.
Like the one that's having the most trouble. You tend to spend more time with them, and the one that just gets it, you know, they kind of miss out a bit, which is a little bit unfair, but...
It's tricky, but Karina, we appreciate your call, mate.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
See you, mate.
I stand by my suggestion, Tim.
Well, it's just, what, the least favourite?
Pick your favourite child, work with them, and the other one can fend for themselves.
Can't wait for your kid to have school.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on HIT. Trending now at hit.com.au.
The biggest trending story is across Australia and central Queensland. And, Tim, if you hate needles... I have got a story for you. It turns out there are a bunch of scientists right here in Queensland who have developed a flu shot that doesn't need to be injected by needle. You just pop one tablet and you are good to go.
I think that's great because I know, look, I think our boss is quite scared of needles. And, and it's not an irrational fear because, like, when you think about it, it's like a little metal stabby thing going inside your body. And, like, I used to not like needles so much, but when I was 17, I was a little bit sick and had to have like 20 blood tests and all this. So I got used to needles.
Yeah.
But I can, especially in school, like I remember having no problem when you have those school days where you get the flu vaccine, just get it done. But there was always a girl crying and a girl passed out.
I was the girl who cried and passed out.
So I think if you can eliminate that, but still bring on the effect, because the main thing is you want to get the vaccinations out there. So as long as it's still doing the exact same job or better, then I think that's fantastic.
So the main problem they had was that any drug that is taken orally needs to be able to sustain itself within our stomach acid.
Yes.
So they think that they may have cracked that code with the flu vaccination. They tried it on mice. It seems to be working on even the strongest flus.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is exciting. And it's exciting that it's happening right here in Queensland at James Cook University.
See, now I do have some more questions on that because as someone that has struggled with problems in my stomach before, that was talking about being sick just a little before, was because of my stomach. And I have my stomach acid can sometimes burn through my actual stomach skin.
Oh, that's not okay.
So, like, is that going to... So people like me is a no?
Guess what? I'm not a scientist.
All right, well, call James then. Come on, man.
I'm sure you can find more information about it at our HIT website, hit.com.au, as well as everything else that's trending right now.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on HIT.
To everyone about a job that is opening... And the position where you will be is actually loosely based.
Right.
Lego is hiring a master model builder.
Okay.
So if you like to play with Lego for a living and get paid a ridiculous amount of money, then go to hit.com.au. There is a link on our website where you can apply for this position.
Right.
There's already been over 5,000 in the first 5 hours it's been up.
God.
There's only 22 of these master builder jobs in the world. I like to imagine it's kind of like the Hunger Games person that builds the map every year. The Game Master, is that what they're called?
Yep.
And so Lego...
I mean, what kind of skills do you need to have? Because just because you can build Lego doesn't mean you're any good at it.
It's not the standard audition or interview process. So it's kind of like Australian Idol.
Okay.
They're going to select 50 people, have a live event, and then do like an elimination of who can build the best Lego... From memory.
I would watch this TV show so bad.
Is Netflix, it a TV Stan, show? Get on it.
Are they filming
no.
it?
No. It's going to happen. It's going to happen at Legoland Discovery Centre in Birmingham in England. Mm-hmm. So it's the ultimate Lego playground, but you need to move from Australia and New Zealand because California as well has a base. So it's most likely either going to be in California, it's either going to be in Birmingham in the United States or in the headquarters, which is I believe is in Denmark for Lego.
Okay. Move to Denmark.
Move to Denmark.
Denmark's great.
Applications close March 21st. And for someone like me, I don't think I'd be good for this job because I use Lego not to be creative. I use Lego to be told what to do.
Yes.
Because Lego has instructions. When I need to just take a breather, I use Lego because it has instructions.
And I feel like as a master builder, you wouldn't have instructions to follow.
I think I don't want to be the Nullsy of the Lego Australian Idol where I get to the final and I'm like, so where are the instructions, guys?
Well, Lego is taking applications. I'm taking applications for a new co-host.
Yeah, because clearly I'm getting the job.
Hit us up, hit CQ.
Thanks, buddy. You can check out the
nothing but support from over this side of the desk, buddy.
Thanks, mate. You can check out the full story at hit.com.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on HIT. Trending now at hit.com.au. 1, 2, 3, 4.
joined now by our Hollywood Entertainment reporter, Dean McCarthy. Dean, you got an exclusive interview with Oscar winner Alicia Vikander. I'm so jealous.
Oh my goodness, she is so wonderful. So obviously she won the Oscar for her role in Danish Girl, which is a very, very serious role. Well, now she is starring in the new Tomb Raider. She is the new Lara Croft. Now, let me just start by saying she is so hot in this film. It is ridiculous. Number two, it hits Australian cinemas on Thursday. Number three, she killed the role. And I asked her, like, how do you get into character? Like, what goes into preparation? Tell me about this role that is so iconic, made from Angelina Jolie. Have a listen to this.
Due to the fact that it's a big action film, I had to do a lot of training, which was fun. I haven't, you know, I used to be a dancer, so I think I've always been quite curious of how they make these kind of big action sequences and stunts, so that I've very much enjoyed.
She's very in shape, let me just say that. I she's really got some good tips on how to, you know, perform and train during the course of this film. It's really, really awesome. If you're a Tomb Raider fan, you'll love it. And if you're not, you're going to get into it. So there you go. Love it.
I think she hits it on the head there. It would be so cool. Like, you always see these action movies and you go, how do they do that?
Yeah.
So it's great that she's finally got that notch in her belt, Dean.
She's so authentic and so real in this film. And it's such a different role for her. Even the director was telling me that when they pitched it to her, they didn't say it was a Tomb Raider film. They just described the type of film. You know, to make sure that she'd be totally open to it. And then when they said it was Tomb Raider, she was like, I thought so. She's awesome. She's awesome.
I think it's going to go really well, Dean. If Wonder Woman's anything to go by, this is going to be an absolute smash hit.
Thanks, Dino.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
See you, mate.
As always, Tim, you can check out everything else that's trending right now at hit.com.au.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
One side of this job I've never been a massive fan of because of the type of person I am.
Yeah.
I'm an introvert.
Yes.
Thank you. I always get confused.
People think you're an extrovert because you talk on the radio, but really you're only talking to me.
Absolutely. No, I'm talking to the people of Central Queensland. How dare you? And yesterday, something happened that normally I'm not a massive fan of, and I got recognised.
I love it.
Most of the time I get recognised, it's around you, because someone hears you laugh and they're like, where is she? That's the girl from the radio.
If you see us out and about, come and talk to us. We love it.
Yeah, well, I do love it. It takes me a while to get involved because I forget about everything on the show.
Yeah.
Like, you could ask me, hey, what do we do on the show today? And I'll be like, that is a great question.
Yep, excellent.
Listen back. go to the catch-up. It's on our
website.
Here's
the link to the catch-up.
But yesterday I got recognised for not being on the radio.
Oh.
Let's get my hair cut, as you can see. Looking fresh, looking fly.
Didn't do anything to your beard. Which is
slightly trimmed it. I went and got my hair cut from my favourite hairdresser in town. And it was the second time, well, my favourite hairdresser, because she's cut my hair twice.
Yeah.
And we were chatting, and I was like, I'm pretty sure she cut my hair last time.
Is this the same one that suggested you go grey?
Yes. No, I suggested it to her, and she said, double thumbs up. So
sure.
Let's go grey hair, Tim. But we were talking, and because obviously this hairdresser cuts that many people's hair, she's not going to remember who I am because there's 50 white males that look exactly like me in Gladstone and Rockhampton and Emerald. Like, I'm a very basic, I'm the default sim as a human being. and we were talking, and she was asking about the color of my beard because my beard is a little bit lighter than my hair.
Mm.
And I said to her, which, because I'd been asked so many times about it from just randoms in the world, the reason your beard hairs sometimes can be a bit more red or lighter than the top of your head is because they're new hair follicles on your face. So that's why when you're younger, your hair's lighter. Like, I was blonde as a kid because they were new hair follicles, so they're lighter, so they come out a bit more red, a bit more blonde. But then by the time you're 12, your hair's brown like mine is now.
Sure. So your face hasn't gone through puberty yet.
No. So my face, like, I only started growing a beard when I was 15. Like, that's when I properly had enough facial hair to grow a beard.
That's pretty early.
So this is only 10. My beard is only 10 years old.
Okay.
And I was telling her, and she was like, you've been here before. Because since I saw you last, you told me that. And now I have been telling all of my clients.
Oh, God.
And
why is a hairdresser taking hair tips from you?
I know. And, like, I'm changing lives. Like,
I'm changing
lives. Everyone, now they know. I've been recognised for my knowledge, not my loud mouth. I've never been more proud of myself in my life. So I am famous.
Where did you even get this tip from?
I Googled it.
Okay, it's obviously reliable then.
Yeah, I think the website's Wikipedia. I don't know. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. You can check it out yourself.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hits.
Jess, yesterday we were speaking about moths and your fear of them.
Yes.
And I thought it was just a smidge ridiculous.
Not just my fear. Many, many women across central Queensland.
And it's funny you bring that up because I would like to talk about the fact that, from what it seems, is it's a 99% women are scared of moths thing. Not all women, but if it's like people that are scared of moths, women is the number
is
one.
Is the majority.
Yeah. So I decided to use my brain, use my noggin, because I want to find out why this is. So on the line right now is Ted Edwards from the CSIRO in Canberra. Ted is Australia's leading moth expert.
Oh, Lord.
Is that what we call you, Ted?
Oh, yeah, that's probably approximately that.
Now, so can you, I was trying to pronounce the word before. What is the study of moths called? It starts with the letter L.
Yes, a person studying moths is called lepidopterist.
Lepidopterist.
Okay, so I would usually avoid lepidopterists with like the plague, Ted. You sound like a lovely bloke. I got nothing against you. But I don't understand why you would dedicate your life to moths.
Oh, moths are most wonderful things.
Now, Ted, I do. The main thing I want to get out of this is we were speaking about moths on the show yesterday, and something we noticed is that females have such a large fear compared to males over moths. Have you studied moths for most of your life? What can you garner on that with in relation to females fearing moths more than men?
I think this type of thing has got a long history way back in early upbringing, probably. Okay. There's often quite a bit of difference in the upbringing of girls and boys.
Correct.
And I think that sort of thing probably has its origin there.
So you think it's because girls were raised to fear many things? That moths, because they move around so much.
To parents and people and friends and whatnot, girls being concerned about things like moths and whatnot is a bit more acceptable than boys being concerned about them.
Right. Oh,
very interesting.
So do you know where the fear of moths stems from? Do you know, have you done that sort of study?
No, I haven't done that sort of study. I don't, you know, I'm a moth person rather than a psychologist.
Yeah. So, well, Ted, we very much thank you because moths are beautiful creatures and they feel like they're getting discriminated against by most of the female population. So thank you much. Thank you very much for speaking to us, Ted.
Okay, that's fine.
No worries, mate. Ted Edwards there from the CSIRO. A lepidologist, is that it?
Lepidologist. Lepidopterist.
Did you learn anything there?
No, I'm still haven't cured me.
I need to get a psychologist on the show. Ted was lovely, but that was pointless.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hits.
I could just kind of be semi-serious with you right now, Pantu.
Okay.
That'd be good.
It's not often we get serious on this show.
Well, I have some questions and I'm very interested in this.
Sure.
So there's since 1960 in the United States, the pill, which is contraception, was a revolutionary contraception act that came into fact and it spread across the world.
Sure.
At the moment, apparently 70% of millennials have stopped taking the pill.
Right.
And I know that there are many different reasons that people take the pill. For health reasons, obviously contraception, insulin's a big thing or something.
Contraception is a minor factor of the pill these days. Like people are taking the pill for all sorts of different reasons.
And each and every person has a different dosage in that. And look, I don't know this. I've never asked my girlfriend. But I believe it's expensive, hey.
I mean, some can be. So, like, mine is about $85 for 3 months, the one that I'm on at the moment.
Break it down.
But some can be as little as $16 for 4 months.
Wow.
So, I mean, the difference in the dosages can be the difference that it makes.
And obviously it affects everyone differently. Mm. And some people are saying they don't like that sort of chemicals going through their body, even if it does do that. So, and obviously nothing's 100% effective.
So 70% have jumped off the pill.
But like there's so many different ways you can do it. Like there's patches, implants. Apparently you can even take shots, like a shot into the arm. We have a friend that got one of those rods.
Yeah,
in her arms.
They kind of freak me out, and I don't know enough about them to really kind of make a comment about it. But seeing you can physically feel them under the skin, and that kind of
it gives me the irks
that there's something sitting under my skin.
And look, I think it all depends on health reasons because obviously if you feel like you should go off because you're feeling crook, absolutely go off it. But I do think that obviously for some people that it is quite
handy.
Yeah.
So it is interesting to see that 70% of millennials have stopped taking the pill. And I believe that that is a good thing.
I mean, my suggestion would be, and like my doctor's always said, that the pill is not harmful to you. Like you can stay on it for as long as you need to.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you need to get off of it, you will be perfectly fine to have children.
Yes.
But everyone's in a different position. So what I say is get off Dr. Google, go speak to your actual doctor and get the right dosage or the right even contraceptive for you.
Even go around. Like, I know you're probably, if you have a family doctor that you go to quite a fair bit.
Yeah.
Even just go around to see. And if it lines up, then maybe that's what you should be looking for. Whether it's staying on, going off, I think it is important, especially for younger women, to make sure they're taking care of themselves.
I think a lot of people jump off too quickly. So talk to your doctor, get a proper recommendation before you just decide, you know what, I'm going to jump off now. Yeah.
So there you go. That's it. I wasn't going to make fun of anyone.
Aww,
for being serious.
Well done, Timmy.
You're welcome.
I'm so proud of you.
And I'm so humble too.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch Up on Hit.
Tim, one of my best friends is getting married in September. It's like the year of weddings this year.
Yeah.
Just got people getting engaged, people getting married left, right and centre.
How dare.
And look, I am very happy being a single girl at the moment until moments like yesterday happen where my friend who's getting married in September is organising accommodation for the night of the wedding. She's having her wedding out at a winery.
Sure.
So she was like, guys, make it easier for yourself.
Are you a bridesmaid?
No, I'm the MC of this wedding.
Oh, spitting some jokes.
Oh, yeah. Spitting some
jokes. Have you got a wedding joke right now that you can tell us?
No, absolutely not. I'm not prepared.
Good to know.
I've got till September. It's fair okay.
Enough. Fair enough.
I get a message yesterday in a group message.
Mm-hmm.
Me and three of my closest friends.
Awesome.
The only single ones left in the group.
Yeah.
And we got a message from this one of my friends who's
the bride. Yeah.
And she said, hey, guys, I'm organizing accommodation and I've put you guys in a single room together.
Yeah.
So that you can save on accommodation because you're not in a couple.
Well, that makes sense. I agree with that logic. First of all, she's paying for your accommodation, so you should be grateful. And secondly, that makes sense.
I also agree with that, but we've been lumped into this room together.
I knew you would think this.
Because we're all singles. And it's like the single saddo room that's going to be down the end of the corridor with like the four single ladies at the wedding.
Mate, you said it. Again, you're putting... It's not an issue. Like, you know that you're not a saddo single, so it doesn't matter what other people think because you know. So shut up.
I know, but when there's four single ladies in one room together, people start talking, Tim.
Who cares? But again, I've just said it. You are your own human being. You know what you're about. The people closest to you, like your family and your friends, they know what you're about. Who cares what Joe Blow that's on the back table cares?
I might have a boyfriend by September. I might want to bring him along.
I asked you to tell me a real story. I don't want hypothetical situations that aren't reality. So, but look, if you do have a boyfriend, then great. You can get out of the pity party room.
Yeah.
But I just don't change
if
your
mind. If I get a boyfriend by September, I'm going to sleep in the corridor.
Mate, I'll give you $1,000. If you can get a boyfriend by the end of the year, good luck.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit.